Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I'm your host, Rob Oliver, and I want to say thank you very much for being with me here today. If this is your first time to be here, I want to say thank you for joining me. I hope that this is the first of many times that we will get together virtually, and it'll be a learning experience for you and help you in your entrepreneurial business and life journey. If you have been here before, if you are a regular and you are just keeping track with the progress of the show, thank you. And it's people like you that make this all worthwhile. My smart person today is, and I'm going to give you this background, right? We talked about the fact that there have been guests from every continent except Antarctica, and which is pretty cool. But my favorite is to highlight the wonderful people that we have right here in the city of Pittsburgh. And Melanie Calusi is one of my fellow Pittsburghers. She is an award-winning coach, author, and three-time business owner. In addition to owning a financial services firm, Melanie owns From Startup to Success, where she provides expert guidance and support to female entrepreneurs so that they can start, scale, and love their businesses. She also owns and facilitates the Pittsburgh Women's Mastermind, which is an entrepreneur group for women who are committed to growing their businesses and networks. Melanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, well, I'm excited that you're here. And let's just kind of start with the backstory of your entrepreneurial journey. Like, can you share with me where you decided to say, hey, did you always want to be an entrepreneur? Did you have a transition from a 9-to-5 job? How did that all work for you?
Yeah, so I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs. My parents had their own business, and as a result of being in a small family-run business, I was recruited to help in their business at a very young age. And I always thought I would never own a business. There was no way I was going to own a business because I saw a lot of the challenges that they went through. And that wasn't for me. So I did not start out with any desire whatsoever to own a business. But I think in the end, we all become like our parents, I guess. And here I am with three businesses now. So I have to admit, it was not planned. It was not intentional. And it was an evolution of the life choices that I've made, I'll say, that ultimately led me to it. And I've been asked the question before, would I do anything differently? And I wouldn't. I would not go back. And I, love the fact that I have the flexibility and the freedom that being a business owner has provided me.
Yeah, it's so funny. I think, is it the progressive commercials that there's the therapist who helps you stop turning into your parents? And there's an element that all of us can look at our parents and say that I don't want to do those things. But there's another part of it that I feel like, for me personally, if I was a little bit more like my parents, they're good people and they've left a good example for me, and following in their footsteps would not be the worst thing to do. So you start up, I'm assuming you don't start three businesses at once.
No.
Okay. So how does that work for you? You start one, and then are they kind of like three prongs of a pitchfork where they all work together, or are they three unrelated businesses, or how does that work?
So I grew up professionally, if you will, in financial services. So I'm a certified financial planner and an accredited estate planner. And a number of years ago, about 4.5 years ago, I wrote a book that I had intended to use for my financial planning business. And it didn't work out that I was going to be able to use it for the business. And so I had wanted to create a separate entity specifically for the book, and just thinking about future growth of what I could do with this. And the book was intended for business owners. It is intended for business owners. And I primarily work with business owners in my financial planning firm. So it all kind of went together, and this naturally was a good fit that I would write this book. But as a result, I ended up starting another company that really focuses on helping business owners put the foundations in place that they need to have. And the experience and the coaching that I provide is all based on the thousands of conversations that I've had with business owners over the past 20 years in the financial services industry. And then Pittsburgh Women's Mastermind really is just a great fit. You know, being somewhat of a minority in financial services as a female, I really wanted to help other women business owners not have to go through some of the same things that I've gone through historically. So that it was just a great opportunity to take on that piece of it as well. So they all loosely fit together.
They're complementary. You know,
yes.
They worked it. Okay. So one of the things that I kind of wanted to talk to you about is that you're doing this from startup to success. Okay. So when people are considering starting their own business, do you have some guidance for people that are in the wishing, hoping, thinking, maybe this would be something that I want to do? What's your advice for them?
Well, the best piece of advice that I would give someone is really be connected with your mission and your vision statements. It all builds from there in my experience, in my opinion. And you really want to be clear on what it is that you want to deliver to the world. And that's your mission. You know, what is it your mission that you're here to do? And your vision is where do you see your business going in 6 months, in 1 year, whatever time frame you want to wrap around it. And so being really clear on those two components helps you create the goals that are really going to launch the business the rest of the way. And of course, there's checklists that are available on some of those practical things that you need to implement. You know, do you set up an LLC, setting up your checking account, getting your tax ID, all those good, really critical components as well. You can get that from the SBA, the Small Business Administration. There's even tools on my website that you can use if you're in that new business startup phase.
Okay. And on the other end of it, you're talking about success, okay? What is your definition of success, and how do you help people to define what it means to be a success?
So that's almost like a trick question, because success is defined differently for every person. So I'm not putting my definition of success on somebody else. I'm really helping them figure out what their definition of success is. And then we evaluate where their business is at in relation to that definition. And if there is a gap, what is it that we need to do in order to get them there? So your definition of success, my definition of success, it's a very personal decision. And I really want people to, one, be okay with whatever their definition of success is, and two, do the things that are going to take them to that definition or to that level of success. It's so interesting that you talk about success, though, because, you know, when we think about marketing and some of the, we were just looking at the website the other day, and some of the language on the website is, you know, to have a successful business. Well, someone might already consider themselves to be successful, but they want to up-level it from there and take it to a different level of success. And so it's important that we all understand that it's okay to have whatever our level or definition is, and you just have to take the steps to get there.
Okay. And I was not intending it to be a trick question, but I think your answer is so smart, because different people have different goals in life. And I guess that when you kind of lay those three things out together, you're talking about your mission statement and your vision statement and your definition of success, that is going to be what I'm assuming drives the decisions that are made in your business. Is it in keeping with our mission? Does it take us to where our vision is? And does it move us closer? Does it move me as a business owner closer to that to my definition of what I have defined as success for me. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It absolutely does. And what I found in working with people is that we get sidetracked with the day-to-day things. We get distracted by putting out fires or addressing client or prospect needs. We get distracted with our marketing strategies. And so it's really important that we have intentional time dedicated to looking at and reviewing our mission, vision, our goals, our definition of success, and really taking that time to strategically plan and work in your business versus working on the day-to-day stuff all the time.
Okay, so there's a couple things that you talked about there, and we'll take them one at a time if you don't mind. And that is success. Let's just, you know, say that success is, for someone, they put a number value on it. I want to be making X number of dollars a year. Okay. And they're at startup and they're saying, okay, I'm making zero and I want to make, you know, 100,000 a year. It just for round numbers. You don't get from zero to 100,000 in one giant leap, but it feels like a huge insurmountable thing. How can you help people to understand that success, that path to success isn't a one big giant journey that takes place all at once?
Yeah, it's, well, what's that saying? How do you eat an elephant, one bite at a time? Right. It's the same thing when we think about our goals. And it's important to break those down into smaller increments because it does give you the ability to monitor and track your progress in relation to that bigger goal a little bit more easily. And psychologically, it helps us see the success that we're making a little bit more, that we're accomplishing a little bit more than if you were just going from A to Z instead of going from A to C to F, and on down the road. So I am a huge proponent of non-annualized goals. And what I mean by that is I break my goals up into 90-day chunks instead of a 12-month goal, because then it gives me the ability to adjust more frequently if needed. If I blow out my goals one quarter and I 150% a goal or whatever it is, I'm not going to slack off for the rest of the year. I reset and then I refocus and keep going. Conversely, if I have a horrible quarter, it hasn't derailed my entire year.
Okay. I love it. It makes sense. And you're talking about setting it up in achievable chunks or, not overbearing or not too heavy of an amount to handle one at a time. Okay. The other thing that you were talking about is being strategic in what you're doing. Okay. So can you talk to me about strategizing and being strategic when it comes to being an entrepreneur?
Yeah, it's so interesting when we think about often as a solopreneur or a small business owner, we have to do all the things. We are our own administrative assistant. We are our own bookkeeper. We are our own manufacturer in a lot of circumstances. And it's so easy to get caught up in that you forget about the higher level components that if we were a corporation, a lot of times there would be groups of people working on that are equally as important for us as small business owners to do that we don't necessarily have the team of people able to help us with. So we have to be very intentional in spending the time working on those things. And that might be, for example, we talked about goals. And so if the goal is to earn $100,000 a year, well, what are you doing? What are the action steps that you're taking on a regular basis in order to accomplish that goal? And spending the time evaluating your progress and evaluating adjustments that you may need to make and implementing those adjustments in order to accomplish that goal is one example of something strategic that you should be spending time on.
Okay. And how do you help people that feel like sometimes strategy and systems and all of that stuff it doesn't sound real glamorous and fantastic. Like, how can you help with that? Because sometimes, to be brutally honest about it, it can feel a little bit boring.
It feels totally boring, and it is one of the most critical components that we should have in place, because at some point in time, you may add to your team and you may bring on a virtual assistant or a full-time assistant for that matter, or you might, expand and you bring on a business partner. And having those core foundational components in place that help the business run seamlessly and create a consistent experience, not only for your client, but for your team, if you ultimately have one, is really going to make things easier for you in the long run. So yeah, doing the dishes is super boring too, but we all know it needs to be done.
Right.
Same thing.
Yeah. Okay. It makes a lot of sense. And sometimes it's one of those things that, you know, when I was little and you were supposed to take like cod liver oil or something, and it's gross and it's not what you want to do, but it's for your own benefit and it keeps you healthy. And in this way, I don't know, it's a terrible analogy, but it's cod liver oil for your business, in which it's not fun, it's not glamorous, but for the health of your business, it's got to be done.
It does. And that's fair. I mean, to take it a step further, I think about, you know, for me, I would rather have ice cream every single day, but I also know that's not healthy for me if I do it. And so reward yourself, you know, if you spend the time doing something that isn't your favorite thing to do in your business, but you know, it's a critical component of having a successful business. Don't block out an entire day to work on it, first of all. Block out 15 minutes or 30 minutes and give yourself permission at the end of that block of time that you can get up and move on to something that you really enjoy doing. And if you accomplish, you know, consistently whatever your goal is for working on that, so set a goal around it. I need to work on my goals for 30 minutes a day for a week. And if you do all of that, then reward yourself. Go off early on Friday, have that bowl of ice cream, you know, skip the cod liver oil or whatever you need to do to motivate yourself to get these things done.
Okay. So let me just ask this. I'm thinking about it. There's that system of reward, but is there also the system of accountability? Like, how do you, like, are there accountability partners? Is that a suggestion that you have? Or what are the ways to both make sure that we are on task and that we are accountable for that, but that we're also not just nose to the grindstone all the time, not enjoying what we're doing? Because frankly, if you're doing what you're not enjoying in business, you're going to get burnout and you're going to hate your business before too long.
Yeah, it all has to be about balance. And yeah, accountability is great. I'm a huge proponent of accountability partners. And when you think about reward and consequences, a consequence doesn't necessarily have to be something negative. You know, if you're working with an accountability partner and you want to set a consequence, when you think about consequences, it can be something that helps move your business forward. So for example, if your goal is to earn that $100,000 and you know as a result of earning that $100,000, you have to call five people. Well, let's say you didn't get that done. A consequence for that could continue to help move the business forward is, okay, now I have to call 10 people and I have to stay until I call those 10 people. That's not necessarily something that's a negative consequence. So definitely working with an accountability partner ups the ante, so to speak, when you know you have these critical tasks that aren't your favorite things to do, but that are required or necessary to get done.
Yeah, it's a great concept. And so tell me, I'm thinking about accountability partners, and part of that is having other people that you know that are doing something similar to what you're doing, which I'm assuming is kind of your mastermind group, where you're networking, you're forming relationships. None of us are truly self-made. All of us have help from others. And I'm thinking about how do you, like, for folks finding a group like that, whether they're in Pittsburgh and they're connecting with you, or what are your suggestions on if you're looking for a group like that, what should you be looking for in that mastermind group?
So, you know, if you're, well, for Pittsburgh Women's Mastermind, we have virtual meetings. So it's truly not geographically restricted any longer. And we do have an accountability program within the mastermind group as well. So you an accountability partner program. So we help pair people up for that little bit extra push, if you will. You know, I've found groups on Meetup before that have been great. So it's just doing a little bit of research. And you really want to find a group that is in alignment with where you're at in business, and visit the group and see if they're a good fit, not only from the content that they're covering or providing, but also from the members of the group. And it really can be something that you build long-term successful relationships with those people in the group itself.
Cool. I want to shift gears just a little bit. Okay. Because one of the things we talked a little bit about the processes and a little bit about accountability and goals and reaching them and what you have to do there. But there's also kind of the process of getting your business out there and increasing awareness of your business, like with marketing. So do you have some tips for us about now, because we were, instead of talking about forming relationships within the business or with business partners, forming relationships with our clients or customers, what can you tell us?
I remember someone telling me a long time ago, you might be the smartest person in your respective industry and know more than anybody else, but if people don't know how to find you, it doesn't matter. And that was one of the big lessons that I learned when I moved and started over in Pittsburgh. And as a business owner, as a small business owner, you have to be really good at marketing. And if you're not good at marketing, chances are your probability of success has gone down quite significantly. And so when you start out, and if you don't have a background in marketing, which I did not, so it was a lot of lessons I learned along the way and a lot of mistakes that I made, but start small, but stay consistent. You don't have to accomplish something really big to accomplish great things or do something really big. It's just consistency is the key, and you have to do it over and over and over, and especially with marketing. So if it's you and you have to go where your demographic is, where your potential client base is. So for example, if you're looking for women and they're primarily on Facebook and you're looking for ages 40 plus year old women, then Facebook might be a great place to go. And so you want to start creating your plan around what you're going to do on Facebook. And I take it as old school, as I print out a blank calendar at the beginning of every month so that I can, because I'm a visual learner, so I can see each day of the month. And I will literally just with a pencil write out, okay, I'm going to have posts for social go on these days. I'm going to have an email go out these days. And I try to have something happen every single day of the week in some capacity, not the same medium, but something that is a little bit different, but again, happening consistently.
Yeah. First, the first lesson is figure out who your client is, your ideal client, where do they live, and go spend time there. But there's also that, what you're talking about is creating a plan that involves a variety of different mediums, a variety of different platforms, and being able to get out there and engage people and engage everyone in different ways. It's great. Makes a lot of sense. Thank you. To go back to kind of where we started talking about, mission, vision, success, and goals. How do you suggest, or, you know, do you have any tips to make sure that we as entrepreneurs don't get so caught up in the everyday that we lose sight of those mission, vision, and the goals that we have in terms of, because of the everyday minutia of what it means to actually run a business?
It's important to not hide them away, your mission, your vision, your goals, your definition of success. So first and foremost, just having them visible and looking at them on a regular basis, if not daily basis, will be the first step in ensuring that those things ultimately are accomplished. And then having the time blocked out in your calendar on a regular basis to review and adjust as needed those goals, mission, vision statements is also going to be important. So I had said it before, you know, I love the word intentionality. And that's what it takes. It takes really intentional focus and dedication or commitment to working on those on a periodic basis. And it doesn't need to be every day, but start with something that you do on a regular, consistent basis.
Okay. Yeah. And I love the word intentionality too, that there's, very few things that happen that lead to success just happen by accident. There is a path to get there and a choice. And I think what you're talking about is so good, not to hide things away. But I remember I just saw a thing for a group that does, it teaches people about public speaking, and they literally have their mission statement painted on the wall in their, in the entry of their office, where everyone who comes in sees it. And, you know, when they're going into the when they're going into the building, when they're coming out of the building, they are reminded every day, this is why we do what we do. I love it. Are there any other tips, tidbits, or anything that you would like to share with us to say, okay, we've gone over a lot of stuff, but just either I would like to sum it up this way, or I would like to throw in this one other little tip for those of you out here who are working on your businesses.
I have always been a person who has gotten a lot of fulfillment out of the work that I do, but I also recognize the need for balance in a person's life, both professionally, personally, and to all of the above. And I know that when you're first starting out a business, if that's where you're at in the phase of your entrepreneurial journey, it can be very overwhelming, and it can feel sometimes like an insurmountable hurdle or a mountain. And so it's really important that you take time to step back and celebrate the successes that you have had. It's important to have a network of support that can help you, that can lift you up when you need it and help you over those hurdles if you just are stuck on something, to have that extra sounding board. And it's important that you just take time for you. And we often forget that when we're working in our businesses, especially when they're new, because like I said before, we're doing all the things. I have a lot of really great blog posts on my website from startuptosuccess.com that give additional tips, even networking for introverts and other marketing strategies, and a lot of really great tips just based on my experiences in ultimately growing my businesses that are really critical things to just think about. And you can also sign up for the 5 critical marketing elements guide that I have on the website too, that will give you some more detail on how to be found.
Fantastic. Well, you actually answered my next question before I got there, which was about how to find you on the web. And so you've got the websites that you listed. You also talked about the 5 critical marketing elements that are available there for download. I will put links to all that down in the show notes to make sure that folks can get a hold of you and connect with you, because what you're doing is fantastic. So listen, Melanie, thank you so much for being here. It is time for 3 questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these, my friend?
I am ready.
What is the last thing that you recorded on TV?
Oh my gosh. Well, I have to admit, I don't know how to do DVR. I'm not that old. So the last thing I recorded was probably something on VHS a long time ago. I love on demand and streaming things, so I can just pick up any show that I missed on demand and I don't have to record it.
That works. It's okay. Do you collect anything?
Oh, do I collect? So I used to collect spoons, which I have a huge collection of spoons. So I'm definitely dating myself. I collect Mickey Mouse stuff as well. And some people might say I collect cats. My husband, potentially. I don't know.
So how many cats do you have?
Well, we had four. One just passed away. But we are on the hunt for the fourth one to come back into the home.
Got it. All right. So shout out to the cats. What are their names?
Thomas is our old man. He is 16. And then Otis is our newest, or Otis is our middle, and Pinto, I can't even remember their names now. Pinto is our youngest.
Wonderful. All right. Last question for you. What is the most unusual thing you have ever eaten?
Oh my goodness. I'm not sure that I want to even admit this. So I don't eat any seafood at all, but I am from Montana. So I've had Rocky Mountain oysters before.
Okay. Enough said. So wonderful. All right. Melanie Calusi, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you sharing. And this has definitely been a learning experience for me and for all of us. To all my listeners, I appreciate you being here. And check us out. Check out the website. Check us out on social media. Drop us a line. It's always wonderful to hear from you. And I will remind you, as always, that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.